Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, my favorite day of the week, a Monday morning here on the roast. And good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. You're getting ready for school. What is happening? All the students out there, have a great day in class today. Teachers, cops, firefighters, everybody, man, big day tomorrow. Make sure you go out and vote. Go out and vote if you want to try to make a change or help make a change in your community, in your city, in your region, hell, in your country that you live in. Tomorrow's a big day in America, of course, and locally as well, as we try to figure out who's going to be a mayor, the mayor of San Francisco, the mayor of Oakland, mayor of San Bruno, you name it. So anyway, shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. And we will get to the NFL, because a lot of things happened. The Rams beat the Seahawks. Cardinals roll the Bears. Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. The NFC is probably going to go through Detroit. And you're going to have to go to Ford Field on that turf and slow down that Lions offense, which looks dynamic. And Jared Goff, I saw a stat where he's had 25 straight completions with throwing to Amara St. Brown, or something like 30 straight completions with throwing to Amara St. Brown without an incompletion. Something crazy, but we'll get to football talk at some point. Right now, we're rolling the Warriors. They're 3-0 on the road. They've won 20 of their last 24 on the road, dating back to last season, Shasky. And they get a huge win Saturday night after nearly blowing a 31-point lead.
I mean, you also buried the lead of Dallas Cowboys, you know.
Oh, well, they sucked. They're
throwing tablets, no, Dak hurt, CeeDee Lamb. No. I thought you were going to go there.
No.
Because you usually take the time to crush them.
My thing is with the Dallas Cowboys, they're not good. So they haven't been good, and they get all this airtime, and they get all these headlines, like ESPN, 8 o'clock hour right now. What is the biggest problem playing the Cowboys? Look, I told you Mike McCarthy was not a good coach. They're not a good, well-coached team. They're terrible. They got 10 men on the field on the second, third down of the football game. Jerry Jones is not a good owner.
And 12 men on the field late in the game in the fourth down situation.
So the less time we spend on the Cowboys, the better it is for everybody. Let's talk about the teams who actually matter. The teams that are actually good. Not the Cowboys. They stink.
Well,
they suck.
When you're ready to have that NFL conversation, I'm ready as well. I've got just a correlation between head coach, quarterback, and all the crappy teams in the league.
Yeah, there's a lot of crappy teams in the league. There's no doubt.
You know who's not crappy? The Golden State Warriors.
They're not crappy. I don't think the Niners are either. I think the Niners are ready
for
that.
Yeah, I don't think they are either.
Big week for Chris McCaffrey, by the way. Big week.
Big week for the San Francisco Giants. Did you see what happened?
No. The Giants?
Matt Chapman won a gold glove?
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Yay.
He's got five.
Good for him.
That is crazy. Five gold gloves.
Five gold gloves. Well deserved for Matt Chapman.
And then Patrick Bailey won a gold glove.
Even though Matt Chapman, did he have the most errors he's ever had in his career in a single season?
Yeah, but he also had, like, the best range and, you know, some of the best release time in the game and recorded a zillion outs that were, you know, off the bat because of the MPHs and exit velo. It would have been a hit. No, he was awesome. Blake Snell opts out. He's a free agent. Robbie Ray opts in. As of now, he's still with the Giants. Wilmer Flores opts in. Thus concludes your Giants talk.
Garrett Cole, what happened with him in the Yankees? Did the Yankees end up...
It's up in the air.
It's up in the air. I thought they had the deadline yesterday.
I didn't see...
I thought the deadline is today. I think it's 5 Eastern.
Owners meetings this week. I think the Giants are going to make a big trade. Already trades are happening like crazy, so we'll be monitoring that, as well as Warriors and all the other stuff going on this week.
Jorge Soler traded to the Angels from the Braves. Let's go to Maxine in San Jose. Maxine, what's happening?
Not much, but I wanted to talk about the Warriors because I really love what they're doing. And they're moving the ball. They're passing it. When they dribble it too much, they start getting into trouble with turnovers. It's just such much more of a free-flowing game. And I really love how he's using the depth of the team to an advantage. And to me, I keep thinking that maybe it was something he picked up more just being the coach of the Olympics.
Yep.
Because he had so much depth on that team, right? So I feel like Kerr is growing as a coach, and that's not something you always see in coaches, people that have coached a long time. And I love his flexibility and how he's leading this team, and I love how everyone's embracing their roles.
Maxine, great points there. You're so right. Steve Kerr does look happy. He looks like he's grown. Maybe it's the Olympic experience. Maybe it's a new team. Maybe it's having no expectations. A lot of people don't think much of the Warriors. A lot of people didn't think much of the Warriors coming into the season. Oh, they can't really play 12 guys. Oh, they can't play 13. Oh, they don't have a second score. Oh, they can't play defense. They're older. The young guys aren't ready. These role players, oh, they're rejects from other teams. Well, you know what? Steve Kerr's pulling all the right strings so far, but Rod Adams joined us in the 7 o'clock hour, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. He had two things he said. One on JK, but he told a story about Buddy Hield and the importance of Steve Kerr and his coaching ability. Listen to Coach Adams.
Maybe it was our last exhibition game or next to last, I forget which. And Buddy was 4-for-14 in the game, didn't have a great shooting night, shot into some really intense shot challenges. He was coming off the floor in the fourth quarter. He met Steve, and they were both laughing. Steve had his arm around him. And I told Steve after the game, I said, that interchange was the most significant thing that happened in this game. Because Steve is a wonderful coach to play for in general, but if you're a shooter, he's more than wonderful. And I think feels that. I think Buddy's been judged in on many teams recently, not so much probably when he came into the league, but you know, if he's not making shots, he's not playing. And shooters can't feel that. Shooters have to feel the freedom to shoot the ball. No one, I think, fosters the confidence of a shooter better than Steve Kerr.
It's all starting to make sense, Shasky. Buddy Hield, after the first game of the season, said, I haven't felt this free since I was in Oklahoma. He's not talking about Oklahoma City. He's talking about the Oklahoma Sooners playing for Lon Kruger when he advanced to a Final Four. And then you hear Rod Adams saying, a shooter needs to feel as if they're free. They can shoot the ball without any consequences and just go out there and play. Very, very interesting nugget there by Rod Adams.
Do you think that Steve, I mean, to a degree, sees a version of himself in Buddy Hield?
Maybe.
Like, not that, I think Buddy had higher hopes for his career than where he's currently at, but in the sense of like, hey, I'm a shooter who's coming off the bench. I'm better than people are giving me credit for. And like, he would know what type of system would work well for a guy like that. Like, I need to feel empowered as a shooter.
Yeah, maybe there's something there. There's something there.
I'm not saying they're the same player. He's way bigger than he
is. Just playing a role. Like, hey, you got to come in the game. Here's your role. This is what you're going to do. And you can see either 10, the 15, the 20, the 25 minutes. The minutes aren't guaranteed, but if you play well, you have a longer leash out there on the floor.
It just feels like to me, Kerr has always been able to connect, for the most part, with the bounce around veterans.
No doubt.
Right?
Because he kind of was one, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then I think where he's kind of struggled is the, I came into the league at 18, you know, and I'm really raw, and I've been the dude on all my AAU teams, and I really don't understand what my role is on this team. I think that is where he's struggling. And it makes sense.
No, it does make sense. It does make sense. 888-957-9570. What has been the most impressive aspect of this start to the season? As the Warriors start out, last year they were 6-1 right out of the gate, 6-2. It felt a little different. They didn't win road games last year. It's this year they're winning road games. They're 3-0 on the road so far, winning 20 of their last 24 away from Chase Center, dating back to last season. But there's so much to like here. 888-957-9570. I'll just go down the list, Shasky, and you can pick one. Draymond being aggressive offensively and being back to that player defensively while taking more accountability as a leader. His leadership has been off the charts, especially this last week without Stephen Curry. Kevon Looney, unsung hero. All he's doing is coming in, rebounding, playing well. And next thing you know, you look up at the stat sheet, and he's got 7-7 while playing solid defense. Bought into his role. Moses Moody, bought into his role. Brandon Podziemski, connecting everything, making winning plays, buying into his role. We can't talk enough about Buddy Hield and what he's done so far, being 30-58 from the three-point line and shooting over 50% from three and shooting over 50 from the field. I mean, wow, what a revelation this guy's been. Jonathan Kuminga, his growth within the last three games alone after all the noise Tuesday night. I mean, you pick one. There's a lot to feel good about, Warrior fans. 888-957-9570. And now we get the barometer set over this next week. When we come back in next Monday, we'll have Niners and Bucks to recap from. But also, we'll have an idea just how good this team could be after playing the Celtics, Cavaliers, and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think the number one thing for me is Draymond. It is, because I think everything flows from there. When you have someone who's such a big personality and is such a force, physically and emotionally, for a small knit group. I mean, this isn't like a room of 70 guys, right? Where, you know, some personalities can get drowned out just because of the amount of people that you have in the building. When you have 12 guys on a team and, you know, half dozen to a dozen coaches or whatever, and you're in a small group, and when one guy wields as much influence as he has, their attitude, their buy-in, how they communicate with others, everything is going to be under the microscope of everyone in the organization. And I think that can be a double-edged sword. It can be bad when things are not going well. You feel like you can't breathe because that person consumes so much of the oxygen in the room. But when they're on their best behavior, it's like everybody is pulling in the same direction. You know, I think he's such an important person, and it's more his mindset than anything else. Like, I told you, I can't believe I'm here. I'm like Draymond, I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's proven it to me. Like, when he got ejected out of that game, he could have easily went under the bench and sulked.
Yeah.
He stood up with everyone else and was like rooting on the fellas. And then at timeouts, he was like talking to guys and fully engaged, and like, he's on his best behavior, and if you're going to rip the guy like I've ripped the guy over the last 3 years, when they look like they've changed, you have to give them credit when they've done it, and I feel like I'm not giving them enough credit.
The one thing about the start and everything, the leadership, I love the hug with Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green at the end of the game, him hugging JK saying, this is what you do. You can be a great player. I'm pushing you to be a great player. It's been a revelation with Draymond Green, the champion of change. And, you know, he had the quote, the famous quote, like, hey, I don't get up for games in March. Wake me up in April.
Such an absurd statement.
But you know what, though? The guy certainly is getting up for these games to start the season. He is playing hard. He's playing so hard at both ends of the floor. And Ron Adams touched on his aggressiveness offensively. Hell, take it away, Ron. We had him on at 7 o'clock. Here's what he said about Draymond Green this season.
Well, I think he's trying to assert himself offensively a bit, and we need him to do that. And his three-point stroke has been, actually last year too, I mean, he made a good percentage of his shots. I like what he's doing from the three-point line. He's spending, I think, more time in thinking about, like, the finer aspects of his shot. I think coming into the league, he was a big-picture guy. The smaller things didn't matter as much to him. He got it done with energy and his you know, it just his strong will to win basketball games. And now he's older and a little bit wiser in that regard, and I think he's getting better as a shooter. We need that. But I think defensively, he's obviously playing at a very high level, and I think his leadership on the court has been really good, and we need that because we're going to be a team that relies on multiple playmakers, and he's one of them. I think Kyle is one of them, and we can go down. You know, we can go down the line. Even Buddy is showing some playmaking abilities, as is Melton, and so on down the line. So he's important to us in that regard also, but he's a confidence builder, booster for all of our guys defensively. He understands the game. He sees the pictures early and so on, and I think he's gotten off to a good start. Came to camp. He was in good shape, but I think that was extremely important, and he will continue to do what Draymond Green does, and that is play winning basketball.
There's no doubt. We'll leave on.
You know, I can only speak for myself, but we have a saying in our family, like, you never know what someone else's rock bottom is, right? And you think, like, for some people, when they're, you know, struggling with addiction or the law or whatever it is, just getting in trouble, you know, like, going to jail isn't their rock bottom, you know? Divorce or losing custody of your children isn't their rock bottom. They can go even lower, you know? For some people, though, it's small things that is their rock bottom that forces change. It does feel like last year was Draymond's rock bottom emotionally for himself. And the fact that he's looked into the mirror. Now, again, we're six games in, you know, like, ask me in 2 months if you know, if he has like a 14 game suspension or something, I'll have a different answer. But as of right now, it certainly feels like he has, whatever happened last year, he looked himself in the mirror and he's shown up this year and he's trying to change things. And as someone who changed his life, I appreciate it, and I'm wishing him well, and I'm pulling for him. I'm not going to be the skeptic. I'm going to root along the way, and I'm going to hope that he stays on the up and up.
It hasn't just been six games, though. I've been listening to Draymond since training camp has started. And since camp has started, I've heard a different tone from Draymond Green. The way he's speaking about the team, the way he's speaking about himself, the way he's talking about his leadership, the way he's speaking at a podium, it has been a change from Draymond Green. And I keep going back to what he said Wednesday night. I'm a champion of change. I was not good last year. I'll let us down. I was not good last year. Taking accountability right then and there. And I'm saying, wow, okay. And then, you know, yeah, sure, he's going to get his shots off. Say, hey, don't forget about Dre. I got goals defensively. I want to be back in the mix for DPOY. I want to be back in the mix for an all-NBA defensive team. And if we would have qualified for the games last season, he would have made an all-defensive team. But he missed 27 games, so he didn't qualify. And the season was marred by the suspensions. Look, man, Draymond Green, the way he's empowering Jonathan Kuminga, the way he's showing leadership on the court, the way he's keeping, you know, look, he's going to run hot. He's going to get more technicals. There's no doubt about it. But that's who he is. He's going to play with an edge because the guy cares about winning.
But he's treating his teammates well.
Well, I was going to get there, Shasky. That's part of leadership. He's being a leader. He is being a leader. And he's helping these youngsters knowing that, hey, these guys can extend my career. Pods and Kuminga and Moody and TJD, who knows what happened in the trade market? I have no idea. But as long as they're here, Draymond realizes that these guys can extend my career with their athleticism, their freshness, their young legs, and let me take them along for the ride. And one thing about Draymond Green we don't speak enough about. We don't speak enough about it. As I mentioned how Pods is a winning player, well, I know in a foxhole, in the biggest moments we've had over the last decade, Draymond Green has helped his team come through. He's helped his team come through when it matters most. The guy, when we talk about winning players, Draymond Green's a winning player.
Haven't you learned something about him with Steph being out?
Yeah, leadership. He's taking the next step. He understands that there's no Clay here. There's no CP3. I'm here and think about 2019 when Steph wasn't there and Clay wasn't there. We questioned his leadership with the youngsters. He missed a lot of time, and he mentioned it. He goes, man, it was hard to get up for games because I knew we were going to lose. Well, now, in these games against Houston and the Pelicans, they're down 20, 34-14. This team the last 2 years would have just got blown off the floor. Leadership. And, yeah, it takes a Lindy Waters III to give him a spark. It takes a Buddy Hill to give him a spark in the fourth quarter. But Draymond has been along for the ride saying, you know what? I got Zion tonight. I'm going to defend Zion and let the rest play out. So he's playing excellent, excellent basketball, and he talks about being a champion of change.
What have you learned about Jonathan Kuminga with Steph Curry being out? Because I wrote down two questions last week after the Steph news kind of came down, and it was like, hey, are we going to learn something about Jonathan Kuminga?
Yes, I learned a lot about JK. Is that there's a lot of people who misconstrue JK and who he is as a player. That's what I learned. Is that we still don't know Kuminga 4 years into it. And I say we, as a collective fan base, the guy's articulate as all hell. I heard people question his articulation in the English language, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He speaks better than a lot of Americans who play in the NBA, for crying out loud. That's number one. Number two is maturity, right on the fly. Getting to get big picture. If I play well, I will get paid. Now, I may not get paid here, but I will get paid if I play well. So let me buy in. And then not focusing on, and Draymond Green said this, we'll pull this out and we'll play it a little bit later, about starting. And Draymond Green mentioned, he goes, he should be mad about not starting. We all want to be starters at the end of the day, which is very, very interesting. Kind of contradicts what I says, right? But if you're getting 26, 27, 28 minutes, and you're getting meaningful minutes, well, that stuff goes, and you're winning basketball games, that stuff's already irrelevant here. So I learned the guy's mature, the guy's buying into his role, and the guy's playing winning basketball. And really, JK is just being JK. He's an athletic marvel, man. This guy can do a lot of things on the floor that a lot of people on this team cannot do.
Well, one of the things that was my question out loud about the team was, who can be the number one option to close out a game? And I think the reason why Ron Adams said that it was his most impressive game, for a variety of reasons, it was Jonathan Kuminga's best game. But I think the number one thing was, he was the number one option in overtime. He won a game down the stretch that they desperately had to have. I know it's early in the year, but you cannot lose a 30-point lead and then lose in overtime. You just can't. And to see him get three consecutive buckets at that point in time, that's what the great ascending players who are number one scoring options late in games, when everyone in the arena knows you want the ball and you go ISO mode, can you get a bucket? He did that. Now, it was one night. You got to do it more than once, okay? Everyone knows that. But for one night, that was pretty cool.
Here's what he said about that.
I mean, I feel like everybody else is going to be needed. We have, like I said, we got a lot of people on the bench that coach would have chosen and put in the game, you know. But, you know, you being out there, it's a blessing, and just, you know, just going out there and just be motivated, because, you know, things like that probably not going to happen twice again, you know. But at that moment when you get it, just go out there and just take it.
Just go out there and just take it. Just go play. Just go play hard. So, look, man, this is an impressive win. We're going to get the NFL on the other side. If you want to chime in, 888-957-9570. How are you feeling about these Dubs right now who have improved the 5-1? What's your biggest concern? If you have any concerns, do you have a concern moving forward here? Do they have too many guys? Is it going to be tough for Steve Kerr to divvy up the minutes once Steph Curry gets back again? Steph Curry is questionable tonight against the Washington Wizards with the left ankle sprain. He may give it a go. But on the flip side, I've heard arguments saying, hey, hold him back against the Wizards. Let's buy one more game without Steph Curry. But I want Steph Curry acclimated into the season. He's not off to the greatest start in the world, 18-6-5. I want Steph Curry, you know, because I want to learn if they get into another close game and they have Steph Curry on the floor, what does it look like? Who's the second option? Who's the third option? What's the five look like on the floor? What are you going to put out there, a defensive lineup or an offensive lineup? A lot of question marks there down the stretch here, but so far so good, Shasky.
Yeah, and it feels like all the young guys are empowered and galvanized right now. And I think it could have turned into, this is my opportunity, y'all get out of the way, and finger pointing and frustration and mailing it in or whatever. And instead, I feel like they've rallied together, yeah, which is just such a great thing to see. And now you get your clear leader back in Steph Curry. Now, let's go. Yeah, let's get rolling.
Feel a lot of fun here. Warriors and Wizards, 4:15 tip off. 4:15 tip. We'll get back into the Golden State Warriors in a little bit here. 888-957-9570 is the number. But let's get into some football here and go around the NFL. As a Niner fan, what did you learn this weekend with the Niners having a bye week? What did you learn about the NFC? 888-957-9570 is the number. That is coming up. Brought to you by Robert Half.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Oh, man. A lot going on here on the morning roast. Warriors in the nation's capital to take out the Wizards. We'll get back to them in a little bit. Well, let's talk some NFL. I'm going to play a couple bites for you, Shasky, because I had to buy binoculars on, especially in the afternoon. A lot of craziness as the Niners had the week off. It's an important week for Christian McCaffrey. We'll see about Dre Greenlaw. Hopefully Debo's okay as the Niners hit the practice field to get ready for a date with Tampa Bay. By the way, we'll all be watching Warriors and Wizards. We'll also be watching Tampa Bay as well because they're on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead. So you get a bye week and you catch Tampa Bay on a short week after playing Kansas City. This is lining up to be a nice week for the 49ers here. But around the
Around the association.
Yeah, I love that. Around the association. I do like that. I like how Dib says it. In the association, I do like the association. I like that word for some reason so much. Hawks, Rams. And Geno just can't get out of his own way. Throwing picks in the red zone. Seattle really had no business losing that game. But I got to walk back something. Because after this play right here, I said, damn. Matt Stafford to Robinson, Shasky, 26-20 in overtime after they stuffed Seattle on that dumbass run play on 4th-and-1. Everybody in the building knew that run play was coming. The Rams stuffing those Florida State boys versus Fisk are playing well on the rookie defensive lineman. And Matthew Stafford, last week, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, you were kind of walking back on Matthew Stafford. Well, I'm there this week. That son of a gun.
What if I said this to you, and I'll let you chew on this. If most people agree, it goes some order of Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen. In terms of like who you want as your quarterback in a primetime game, leading the drive with a couple minutes to go, I think Matt Stafford's the fourth guy I'm taking on that list.
So you're taking Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen?
In some order. And then
you're taking Stafford ahead of Joe Burrow?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I am. And I'm taking him ahead of just about everyone else on there.
Wow.
Herbert, Dak, Purdy even, you know. I mean, the guy, look, for a 36 years old. He could still maneuver out of the pocket when need be. He can play from structure. He has arm talent that touches every blade of turf or grass that's imaginable. He's tough as nails, and the guy throws dudes open. Whoa. He's just unbelievable.
That throw, and I got to walk it back. Stafford's career is ending a lot better than Aaron Rodgers' career. I mean, you look at the internet, who's aging like fire wine and who is it? Right now, I know Rodgers and company, they got the win against the Texans last Thursday night. They're going to play the Cardinals next week. It's a big game in the desert. Jets, Cardinals, got a roof for the Jets in that football game.
The Jets will let us down.
I think they will too. But Matthew Stafford, I got to walk. I see why. Maybe Shanahan should have been a little more proactive in Cabo in getting Matthew Stafford. Now, I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
No,
I'm
but
happy.
Just looking back on it.
But Stafford,
yeah.
The ball he's throwing, he made a throw to Cooper Kupp on the sideline. I said, oh, damn.
Where Cooper did the little, toe tap. He does the dead leg better than anyone.
I mean, he's throwing it right. He uses, like you said, every blade of grass. He can make all the throws. So the Rams win their third in a row. They're now tied for first place. The Cardinals beat the Bears. Hey, really, that game wasn't even close as Matt Eberflus, he may be out of a job. And there's some candidates. You mentioned Ben Johnson during the break from Detroit. Mike Vrabel, Belichick, they're all there for the Chicago Bears as well. Maybe they need an offensive-minded head coach for once in their franchise history, outside of Mark Trestman, of course, who coached the Bears for a couple years. That was not good. So the Cardinals win. The Rams win. Seahawks lose, but the Niners sit back, and they don't have the tiebreaker right now over the Cardinals or the Rams. So, Niner fans, how'd you just sit back and take in NFL Sunday without your boys on the field? Did you learn anything? I tell you, the number one thing I learned is that the NFC is going through Detroit.
I don't think it matters where we play at. Doesn't matter about the conditions. We knew that coming in here. We want to know if we validated anything. Are we going to validate being able to play in the weather? It doesn't matter, man. That's just the way you're built. The way you're built, that's an outstanding win, man. That's two division wins. I am unbelievably proud of you guys. That's the way to come in and just ball. That's the way to ball, all right? I got two game balls. Number one, all right, on defense, four tackles, one huge pick six. Kirby Joseph.
Super, man, but I just want to say, man, I appreciate all y'all, man. Could not do this without my team and the coach, man. I just want to say I appreciate y'all and I love y'all, man.
Next one here. All right, on offense, just close the game out. 17 carries, 73 yards, 3 catches, 23 yards. And we talked about at the end, got the first down. We kneel this thing down. David Montgomery.
I wouldn't want to do it with another group of guys, man. I'm grateful and I'm blessed to be here, man. Let's do this thing, man. Let's go all the way.
Yes, sir.
Man. Like I said the other day, man, as long as we going, we going, man. Family on three, family on me. One, two, three.
They signed David Montgomery after letting Jamal Williams go. And I was like, wow, that's a mistake. He felt like the heart and soul of that team, Jamal Williams. David Montgomery running the ball hard. Jahmyr Gibbs, they drafted him in the first round, traded Swift to Philadelphia. I'm thinking, what are they doing? A running back in the first round? They know what they're doing, and they're built to win anywhere, anytime, any place. They're 7-1, 4-0, and really control that entire football game, Shasky.
After their best defensive back got kicked out of the game.
Right.
For a wild hit,
and they don't have Aiden Hutchinson.
No. No, they're a juggernaut, and I actually think they play better outdoors in the elements than they do in the dome. They are, to me, they're the number one team in the NFC. What I would say, and I was just doing some research, like the Niners are 4-4 right now, and there are a ton of teams that are right where the 49ers are. Tampa, Chicago, the Rams, Niners, Seattle, all 4-4, Seattle's 4-5. Last year, and I know every year is different, but last year at one point, the Niners were 5-3 after 9 weeks, and they had their bye. They won 6 in a row. Let me just tell you who they beat. At the time, a 6-2 Jacksonville team. At the time, a 4-5 Tampa Bay team that would go on to the playoffs and beat Philly. At the time, a 6-4 Seattle team. At the time, a 10-1 Philly team. At the time, a 6-6 Seattle team. And then at the time, a 3-10 Arizona team. Philly was 10-1 to start the year last year. And then they lost 6 out of 7 to end their year. Jacksonville was 8-3 at one point last year, and they lost 5 of 6 to end their year. So where I'm going at with this is that could the Niners go on a run and be somewhere near, you know, either the top of the NFC West or just vying for one of these wild card spots? Absolutely. One team is going to fall and one team is going to rise.
Is that team Detroit? I don't think it's Detroit.
I don't either, I'm looking at, like, right now.
I don't think it's Detroit.
Arizona, I'm in wait-and-see mode. Minnesota keeps winning. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but they're vulnerable.
They don't look good. Darnold did not look good yesterday.
They look vulnerable to me.
They're very vulnerable.
Okay, we agree.
Very vulnerable.
Green Bay, if Jordan Love can't move, they're compromised. And I think that he's got to clean up the turnovers. Washington, great year. They're obviously ahead of schedule. But come on, if the Niners had to go on the road, let's say, and face the Washington Commanders, you got to like the Niners' chances. Atlanta, like, and I know Atlanta had a big win yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys. But do you really fear Atlanta? I'm asking out loud, guys. Do we?
I'm talking about Detroit here.
Well, no, Detroit's in a class of their own.
Detroit's a team.
I'll give you that.
I'm not worried about
Detroit
teams. But I don't know if a lot of people did because midway through last year.
They played them in the NFC Championship game.
But you didn't mention Detroit. And I thought Detroit's coming out party wasn't even last season. I thought Detroit's coming out party was the last game of the regular season at Lambeau Field, which started a 3-game winning streak at Lambeau Field for the Detroit Lions after not winning there for 20 plus years. They knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. And they build their momentum. They go to Kansas City in the first game of the season. I know there's no Kelsey. There's no Chris Jones. But it ain't easy winning in Kansas City. And they won in Kansas City to open the season. And as you mentioned, the NFC Championship game up 24-7. This team is better. They look hungrier. And so, yes, to your point, I don't fear Atlanta. Although Kirk Cousins did go 35-45 against the Niners last year. And they have weapons. They do have weapons. I'm not going to scoff at Atlanta right now. They have a running game. They've got weapons. They're playing really, really good football. Good complimentary football. The Rams and the Cardinals, they beat the Niners. Whether we like it or not, they beat the Niners.
No doubt.
And they cause problems. Kyler Murray with his mobility. They have a good tight end in Trey McBride. James Conner runs hard. It seems to save his best for the 49ers. And the Rams are the Rams, who have a Super Bowl. McVay and Stafford and Cooper Kupp have a Super Bowl. So they know what it takes to hoist a Lombardi. But those Detroit Lions, as I look at the 49ers, and you got to take it a week at a time. You got to beat Tampa. You got to beat Seattle. Then you buckle up for the Packers and Buffalo on the road here. But the class of the NFC, and this is going to be tough. It goes through Ford Field right now.
There's no doubt.
And that team is playing as well as anybody in this league, and they play a physical brand of football. That reminds me of the Niners, of whether it's Jim Harbaugh coaching or Kyle Shanahan. They will scratch and claw and take every yard. They run trick plays. They throw the ball deep. They throw it short. They run screens. They run trick plays. They run the ball down your throat. And their defense is a very opportunistic defense. So when I'm looking at the NFC, yeah, you're right. The Falcons are who they are, and the Eagles are 6-2, but they got some flaws. Right now, the conference goes through Detroit.
Well, no, I think anybody who doesn't see that Detroit is a juggernaut is not paying attention. So I just put them in a class all their own. They are clear-cut and away, best team on both sides of the ball right now in the NFC, but it's their offensive line that I'm most impressed with.
Well, let me ask you this, then. How far are the Niners from Detroit? If you had to,
ask me in like 3 to 5 weeks, because right. I don't think the Niners have come close to playing their best ball.
Right.
But I also think that Detroit is learning how to play without Hutchinson, and they can win in a variety of ways. You want to throw it around the ballpark, they can do that. You want to run the ball down a team's throat, they can do that. Like, they can win a lot of different ways. So I have a lot of respect for Detroit. To me, they're the clear-cut number one.
They just won two division games on the road in Minnesota. Angry Bay, the elements. I mean, it's unbelievable. This team is.
But who's doubting them?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just saying,
as a Niner fan, I'm licking my chops looking at the Commanders and Atlanta and even Philly looks vulnerable. Now, are the Niners some juggernaut? Absolutely not. They've got to go out and they got to be. I know you're rated out, but you got Tampa on the road, Seattle, who they might be fighting for their playoff lives, at Green Bay, at Buffalo. And then it doesn't ease up after that. But let's just get through that stretch.
Yeah,
if you get through that stretch and you're 3-1, okay. All right. Now we're talking about something. Well, obviously, winning the division is important, and that's going to be the clearest path to the playoffs. But after that, like, I'm sorry, I don't see. Yes, Detroit is awesome. I think it's up in the air.
Yeah, I'm not in a position to scoff at any team in the NFC. I'm not going to scoff at the Commanders. They find ways to win, and they got a dynamic quarterback who can cause fits for our defense. We know mobile quarterbacks give the Niners defense problems. They have a great running game. Adam Peters and company are cooking. So we'll see what happens tomorrow at the deadline. Tomorrow's deadline, 1 o'clock Pacific time. Do you want the Niners to add something? If you had a choice, Niner fans, to add anything, what are you adding to this roster? I'm hearing rumors as Za'Darius Smith of the Browns. He's in play. Detroit's probably the favorite to land them. Can the Niners land them? If you were a Niner fan and you watched the league yesterday, what is the thing the Niners absolutely need to go beat a Detroit, to beat a Commander team, to beat an Eagle team, to beat a Falcons team, to beat a Rams team? What do the Niners need? 888-957-9570 is the number.
What if I said to you they don't need anything on offense? They need a healthy Christian McCaffrey. But on defense, I'd take a lineman. But what if I just said, like, CMC? Full health of CMC.
Something there.
I can't grant that, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, that would be better than any trade they can make for offense.
I agree, because Philadelphia has their CMC. Here he is, Saquon Barkley.
Has time. Now locates Barkley out of the backfield. Barkley slips two tackles and picks up the first down. Flipping up in the air to the 30. A gain of 14 for Barkley with some nifty moves along the way.
Barkley's averaging 6 yards per carry. 6 yards per carry. 925 rushing yards so far to start the season. Another 146 in the air. He is balling right now. A huge pickup. So, look, as a 49er fan, I would like to see D-line. I like to see some edge rushers, some depth maybe on the edge, some depth in the middle of that defensive line. Because these teams that I were mentioning, the Commanders, the Lions, and the Eagles, they do something that causes this defense fits. One, they have mobile quarterbacks, except with the exception of the Lions. Jared Goff, he's suspended it. He hasn't had an incompletion, it felt like, in 5 weeks. But they run the ball between the tackles, and they run it with effectiveness. So what is the Niners' Achilles heel so far? Stopping the run, right?
Barkley's been amazing. If Derrick Henry is the 1A best free agent signing in terms of bang for the buck in the league, Barkley's right there. It was like $16 or $17 million guaranteed this year. That's like nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at all these wide receiver contracts, and I keep coming back to this, and like, is every player as talented as Saquon at running back? No, he's a unique talent. But you cannot tell me that that $17 million that Howie gave him in guaranteed money this year isn't just unbelievable money spent for what he's done to that offense.
No doubt.
And then Devontae, I slept on Devontae Smith. Like, man, he's really thin. You know, I know he had a Heisman year at Alabama. I don't see it. No, he's way tougher than I gave him credit for. And with A.J. Brown being clearly compromised, like, Devontae makes plays. I still don't love their offense, though. Yeah. I still don't love their offense. But that young defense that they have, you saw them late in that game step up and make plays. I think it was Dean had the interception late in that game, the kid from Georgia. I don't want to play Philly, but to me, Detroit is here. Philly is a full tick below, like, Detroit. I'm not saying that I want to play Philly. I'm just saying, like, to me, there's levels to it. And, like, right now, the clear top penthouse is the Detroit Lions. Somewhere in the middle is the Philadelphia Eagles.
A.J. Brown does have a knee injury. He's going to undergo an MRI today. So they've got a big game coming up soon. Is it the Commanders? No, they've played the Commanders in 2 weeks. Philly travels to Dallas to take out the Cowboys. Then they take out the Commanders. Let's go to the Lions here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Austin in San Jose. Austin, what's happening?
Hey, Devontae. Yeah, man, I hear you, and I hear you guys talk and enjoy the conversation. Shafty's totally disrespecting the Commanders. I mean, we're not talking about last year. We're talking about this year. You can't focus on what the Niners were last year or what other teams were. I mean, I would think that have you been watching the game, which I watch every game.
Can I pause you right there? At what point did I disrespect them saying that I'd like to play a rookie quarterback in his first ever playoff game with Dan Quinn, who has familiarity with Kyle Shanahan and vice versa, with a Cliff Kingsbury who's fallen apart in December and January every single year? All I'm saying is that it's a really young team that's had a monster season. But when you're a battle-tested team like the Niners, that's a nice matchup given where they're at right now.
Yeah, you said Detroit and Philly as the pecking order, though. And I would say the Philly's probably a lot more worried about the Commanders than you might be.
I don't think I said that pecking order. I was saying that Philly's a tough team. See, you're putting words in my mouth. That's fine. Continue.
Well, I mean, whether I'm putting words in your mouth or not, what is the fact? Where do you see the whole lineup to be?
Right now, Detroit is a clear-cut number one. Niners? Detroit, you asked me. Detroit is a clear-cut number one. The Niners are on the outside looking in, but if they face Atlanta, Washington, I would throw Philadelphia in that mix. Any one of those teams, even Minnesota. I want a second crack at Minnesota. Those aren't world beaters. I consider Detroit a world beater. I think they're the top-notch number one team.
What's up, Austin?
Bonte, can I get Bonte's perspective? Bonte, where would you rank the teams in terms of foes and based on the quarterbacks this year? Not last year. Not going on what happened last year, which you guys seem to be dwelling on. Shasky dwells on what happened last year. We're talking about this year. Bonte, what's your pecking order? How do the Commanders stack up for you, buddy?
I'm not. What he said to you?
I don't know. He loves coming at me, and I get tired of it. I get tired of it.
It's all good. It's all good.
You don't like it? I don't care. These are my opinions. Look, Jaden Daniels had a monster year. They have a last-place schedule, and they've benefited from that, and they've played really, really good football. I didn't have the Commanders being this good. No one did. Most people didn't. And so, yeah, they're having an awesome year. But let's also, like, acknowledge that, like, a veteran team like the Niners, who have won a ton of playoff games, that would not be the worst spot to play the Washington Commanders in the second round. It wouldn't.
So, a couple things here. Ask me for my pecking order. Right now, Detroit's number one. Right now, I lean Commanders over the Eagles because of the Eagles. The coaching matters to me. Dan Quinn doesn't get enough credit for what he did in Atlanta. Dan Quinn's a hell of a defensive mind, and he's got the swagger. And I look at all their locker room post videos and the Commanders. They believe out there. There's a report yesterday that a lot of players want to get traded to the Commanders. They've got a lot going on there with Adam Peters, who we know very well, and Bob Myers is there in Washington. They've got a winning formula right now. They have a leader in Terry McLaurin. They've got a great offensive line. They've got a great running game with Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. It's a hell of a 1-2 punch. And their offense has been their best defense. When they need a drive to eat clock, they get things done. They don't punt the ball much in Washington, D.C. So I got the Commanders at 2 right now. To your point about fearing matchup. Well, we'll see. But they have a lot of things that they offer that the Niners can't stop. Those are the facts there. When it comes to Atlanta and Kirk Cousins, we could sleep on the Falcons all we want to. But then winning that Monday night game in Philadelphia, the Falcons of yesteryear don't win that game. They don't win that game in a way, in the fashion that they want it. Now, did it take a back call by Sirianni? Of course. But the breaks. Sometimes you get breaks.
I'm just
skeptical
of them.
You have to take advantage of breaks. But you know what? If Kirk Cousins gets time with Drake London, with Moody at the other wear number one, balling.
Bijan's their best player.
Bijan, but you know what? Algieri's ran just as hard as Bijan.
Bijan's
and Kyle Pitts has now appeared to be offense.
But I've seen the Niners face Kirk Cousins, and the statuesque quarterbacks in the playoffs, the Niners have handled those guys. The Jaden Daniels movement, well, absolutely I fear that.
Well, Atlanta though, but the thing with the Niners is how consistent is their pass rush right now? Is it an inconsistent pass rush?
Look, until I see Atlanta win a game that matters, it's really difficult for me to take them serious.
I'm not looking at the old years, Atlanta. They got a new quarterback, and they have a quarterback. Man. They have a quarterback who lit the Niners' ass up last year.
Sure.
He was 35 of 45.
It was his best game ever.
I mean, he lit them up. He lit them up, and now you got a good offense. You got playmakers. You got an opportunistic defense. They do a lot of things that the Niners can't stop. So right now with the 49ers, they're not even in first place in the division. So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, yeah, let me get this team. I'm looking my chops for this team or that team. Nah, they've got to play better, and they've got to show me some consistency. And I think to Austin's point, that's just fair. Basing everything off of last year, what did I always say?
But they played the Giants twice. Like, I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just saying, like, we also have to acknowledge that the way the NFL schedule is set up is that when you're a team like the Niners, you're going to get a scheduling disadvantage because you have a first-place schedule, and you're going to face other first-place teams. When you are a bottom feeder like the Commanders and the Falcons were the last couple of years, you get the benefit of playing a last-place schedule. That's not me making it up. That's how the league is structured.
But what did we say? You don't control who you play. You control how you play. That's how we discussed the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors have yet to beat a playoff team this season. But how do they play? How does the form look? The form looks good, right? Looks like they're having fun.
I think there's a difference between basketball. The first 2 weeks of an NBA season and looking at projecting the NFL playoffs.
But no, we're not projecting the NFL playoffs. You just brought up their schedule and who they beat. Well, they did go to Cincinnati on Monday Night Football and beat the Bengals when nobody thought they would beat the Bengals, right?
That was a great win, but the Bengals have been a team. They're under 500 currently this morning.
Well, then the next week, the Commanders go on the road to play the Arizona Cardinals on a short week.
Yeah.
They beat them 42-14.
I don't know what to make of the Cardinals. I don't know what to make of them. Like, they're a team that can beat anyone and lose to anyone.
But I'm saying, they beat them 42-14. They go to Cleveland. They play Cleveland at home and destroy the Browns. Destroy them. They go to Baltimore. That game came down to the wire against Baltimore.
Baltimore's awesome.
Yeah, we love Baltimore, right? The Commanders held their own.
They're not good. I'm saying are playing them in the playoffs, my chances.
I don't get why you're getting triggered.
Because I'm rooting for... Look, my team has been to the playoffs year after year after year, and when the chips are up against it, I think if you're facing a rookie quarterback in maybe their first or second start ever, that's a good spot to be in.
It's not a bad spot, no doubt.
Considering how bad this year has gone for the Niners.
Well, I think just to add on to that, Shasky, kind of add to your point, as great as the Commanders do look this year, I think we can all agree playoff football is just a totally different animal. When you have a young team with a rookie quarterback, I mean, the talent and the ability with Washington's there, but I do think that veteran know-how that the Niners have, that would be an asset there. But I mean, I don't want to look that far ahead.
Talking playoffs. I didn't even bring up playoffs. I just said the guy asked me my pecking order in the NFC, and right now the Commanders are one of the top three teams in the NFC, and right now they're playing some damn good football.
Probably, but 4 weeks ago, we would have put Tampa Bay.
And you would have put Kingsbury, well, Tampa lost their wide receivers.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that's how the league works.
That's how the league works.
It could be different in 4 weeks.
But it's also a year-to-year league, so I'm not going off of last year or what happened last year with these organizations. It's a completely different season. A completely different season. And so these teams are playing better football right now. And they have formulas that are the Niners' kryptonite right now. Teams that run the ball, the Niners can't stop the run, right? They can't get consistent pressure on the quarterback outside of Nick Bosa. You allow these teams to sit back in the pocket and throw it, they're going to shred you with their weapons. They're a completely different team. That's all I'm saying. And, by the way, when you bring up Kingsbury, well, Kingsbury's not a head coach no more. He's an offense coordinator.
I know.
He doesn't have the OT play those effect. He's running the offense. Dan Quinn's running the defense. They have good special teams. They have a built-in leader, Terry McLaurin. That's all. And so these teams like Detroit, Washington, even Atlanta's got an entirely different swagger right now.
Yeah, I just my personal belief, I think that whole division stinks. I think Tampa's injuries have clearly decimated them because they were a team that I thought of higher than Atlanta. I don't believe in Atlanta. I'll have to believe it to see it in the playoffs, then I will believe it. Until then, I do not believe in them. I just don't.
Let's go to Jamie in Pittsburgh. Jamie, what's happening? Okay, why are you so triggered?
What's up, fellas?
Baby, what's happening?
Good morning. Oh, man, so I heard Shad just talk about that. What do the Niners need, to compete against the top dogs in the NFC? It's just the NFL, period. Basically, you know, I'm a Raider fan. But I'm going to tell you guys, Niners have a real good football team. But you know what? The only way you guys are going to get over the hump is injuries. You guys are beat up. From the top to the bottom, and until you guys get everybody back, it's a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get every week. So, I mean, you see the fall off from the top to the bottom. Where's Bosa been? Ever since you guys gave Bosa all that money, he can't even breathe on the quarterback. So it's like, I mean, injuries have decimated your team. Your guys' football team is fantastic, but until you get your players back and all your skill positions, it's we're going to be talking about this every day. And like in the famous words of the Big Tuna, you are what your schedule says you are. If you're 2-5, hey, that's what you are. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know,
good call, Jamie. Look. And your point is well taken about the Commanders and their last place schedule and all that stuff. Trust me. I see it. But the same thing we're talking about with the Warriors, and I get we're halfway through the NFL season. We're 2 weeks in to the NBA season. But if we want to play the schedule game, the Niners haven't really beaten anybody either. The thing we're going on with the 49ers is their proven track record in years past.
Yeah, I'm giving the credit to the coach and the quarterback who I've seen win high-level games in December and January. To me, the Niners have earned the benefit of the doubt. Yep. Does that put them in the top? No. Right now, there's four teams or three teams that are on the outside looking in, multiple games behind Green Bay for the last wild card spot. But if we're being fair here, you've cited their record in December and in January over and over and over again. And when I look at Kyle Shanahan, it's like, all right, you know what? Until they have a falling out or whatever, like they've earned the benefit of the doubt. You do it 4 out of 5 years, you're pretty much proven it.
They have.
With a variety of playmakers.
They've played a lot of football here, but the wins, when you really look at it, man, the Jets win. How impressive is that? The Patriots win.
I mean, not good.
The Seahawks win. The Dallas Cowboys win. But they're 14-1 in November and December, the last two seasons. They're 16-2 the last two seasons coming off the bye week. So they get a perfect landing spot, in my opinion, against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is not going to have Mike Williams. Chris Godwin's out for the season. Their offensive line's beat up. Their defense is giving up yards and chunk plays. And they're going to be on a short week after playing Kansas City. This is a great landing spot for the 49ers, but we're going to find out about them this month. Tampa, Seattle, Green Bay, Buffalo. 3 of the 4 road games. 3 of your next 4 games are on the road. So we're going to find out just how good this 49ers team is. Not the previous 49ers teams, this version of the 49ers. Just how good are they? Without Christian McCaffrey for the first part of the season. We get that, but he's got bilateral Achilles tendonitis.
I don't know what to make of it.
Brandon Ayuk's gone for the season. We don't know yet about Ricky Pearsall. We don't know yet about Jacob Cowing. We got the Colton McKivitz issue at right tackle, right?
Offensive line's been okay, though. Offensive line's been okay. But he, in particular, is not
great. J.P. Macy's got an AC joint sprain in the shoulder. What is Dre Greenlaw? What version of Dre Greenlaw are we getting? Are we going to get consistent pressure up the middle? Where's our DBs at? Where's our safeties at? So it's a lot of question marks here with the 49ers.
I think the secondary is actually not that big of a question mark. I think it's been really good. You're going to give up chunk plays, but right now they get turnovers, and yeah, they do whiff on tackles. The two big safeties whiff on tackles, but I think the number one thing for me is with this team, if they didn't lose the Rams game, Aaron Arizona, for whatever reason, that game felt like they were playing uphill all game. And well, Minnesota, no,
they were up to Arizona.
I know, but I'm saying like in the second half, it felt like they were playing uphill the whole night. Well, they were gassed. They were gassed.
I hear that.
I'm not making excuses. Arizona kicked their butt.
I mean, they were up.
But the Ram loss is the one that really stings. Like that to me, of all the losses, Minnesota deserved that win. It's the Rams loss, the way they lost that one, that really hurts. If you just get, you know, semi-decent special teams play in that game, you win that game. And we're sitting here 5-3, but you're not.
Anything you want at the deadline. What is it that you want at the deadline if you're a 49er fan? Do you want Lynch to work the phone lines and make a trade? Do you want them to make a trade? Maybe the Saints are going to trade some pieces. They're out of it. Carolina already traded Deontay Johnson. Maybe they have more assets. Maybe Clowney's on the block. What about the Cleveland Browns, who got smoked by the Chargers at home yesterday? Are they in on something? Do you want to see the 49ers make a move to bolster this roster and get ready for a run to the AFC? What do you want if you do want something? 888-957-9570 is the number, as you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We'll get back to Warriors after the break here, but after watching yesterday, Niner fans, what is it that you want the Niners to do at the deadline tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time?
It's hard just to not go back to CMC every time. And it feels foolish to bring it up because it's like, is he going to play a snap? Is he going to play 9 games this year? Is he going to play something in between? When I see what Saquon's done to Philly, when I see what Derrick Henry has done for Lamar Jackson, it's like, dude. That's the kind of player CMC is. He changes your whole team. But I think the same argument can be made for Dre Greenlaw, where this defense has been an upper echelon defense with him every snap he's played. So, like, they need one, if not both of those guys back to be a legitimate contender. And they need to start reeling off these games against the big boys. This Buffalo game that's down the line, right. The Buffalo game's going to be huge. The Green Bay game's going to be huge. Obviously, they're all huge. But
the Buffalo game's an out-of-conference game.
No, but I want to see what you look like against him.
Yeah, no doubt. But you may not look good. You may not look good after back-to-back road games. Now, I don't know how the Niners are going to do this. Are they going to just travel to Youngstown, Ohio during that week to stay on the East Coast so you don't have to go to Green Bay and then come back to the West Coast and then go all the way back to Buffalo? Maybe you just stay away in Youngstown. You do Thanksgiving in the state of Ohio. Or maybe you just go stay in Michigan. I don't know. I don't know what you do there, but one game at a time. And it's against Tampa Bay. So we'll be watching Tampa Bay today with Baker Mayfield and company. What does McMillan look like at wide receiver? What does Sterling Shepard look like at wide receiver? Are they using their tight end Otten? Are they going to run the ball with Bucky Irving and Wade? You know what I'm saying? So it's time to look at Tampa Bay and take it one game at a time. I don't care about Buffalo right now. I don't care about Green Bay right now. I don't care about Detroit right now on the schedule. What I care about is the form, the Niners, kind of like the Warriors. What does it look like? What does your form look like here? And the Niners got to start playing some good football. They haven't put. Here's the facts with the 49ers. We can talk about the Commanders and the Lions and fear the Falcons and what not fear the Falcons. One thing I know about the 49ers so far this season, they have yet to put together a four-quarter game. They've yet to do that.
I can't argue that. Detroit's had multiple games where they've had four-quarter games. I would say the one against Green Bay was, in terms of top to bottom, as impressive a win as you can have given the elements. And then clearly they blew the doors off of Dallas. So that's just two off the top of my head.
Washington, Arizona, 42-14.
It's a thrashing.
Cleveland Browns for kickoff. Cleveland, you get credit for playing.
No, I know, but I mean, it's just anything that happens with Cleveland, with Deshaun Watson, it feels like I just like. Well, I'm not dismissing it. It's just,
The fact
it's
is,
it's hard
here,
to take Cleveland serious.
The fact is, the Niners have yet to put together a four-quarter.
No
game.
Doubt. No doubt. I would say that the New England game was as close to one as they had, and they kind of let their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, and it just they didn't finish the way you wanted them to finish. Like, they should have dropped 40-something in that game. Felt like they eased off the gas pedal. But that was a thorough win.
So we need to see something with the 49ers. Do you want to see them make a deal? 888-957-9570 is the number. Do you want to see the Niners make a deal before tomorrow's deadline at 1 p.m. Pacific time? The Warriors back on the floor against the Wizards tonight. Steph Curry may make his return, and he's had some monster nights in the Wizards. We'll get into the numbers in just a second as we talk a little football here. The McCaffrey-Achilles tendonitis, that is massive. That is, I don't even know. What happens if he comes back? Does he tear it? Does he not tear it? What is the treatment? What does the workload look like? Does he play every single snap? Does he only play third downs? So many question marks. I feel like we still have a lot of questions, even though they've been on the bye week. What's the status of Deebo Samuel? You know what I mean?
I don't even know. With ribs, I haven't even thought about him. Ayuk's a huge loss, but because the team doesn't throw the ball that much, you don't feel it week to week. You do in like situations, you're down seven and you got to throw the ball. Like you feel it there, but because they're a run-based team, you feel the McCaffrey missing presence almost all the time. Like these 8, 9, 10 yard runs go for 30 or 40 with him, you know? JP Mason's had a great year, you know, but he doesn't hit the home runs the way he does. And like some of the plays out of the backfield, I mean, he's just automatic first downs. Instead of second and eight, it's, you know, second and two, right? He brings so much to the game. And clearly the rest of the team benefits from the one-on-ones they see on the back end. The one good thing is that I do feel like George Kittle is playing an unbelievable brand of football this year. He feels like he's having a monster year.
Is this his best season of his career? Is this the best season of Kittle's career?
Do you consider 2018 the best year of his career?
It was up there.
Because they didn't win games. Felt like the yardage was great.
In the run game, in the pass game, I don't know if I've ever seen Kittle be this effective. Now, I'm not going to underrate his other seasons. He's put together a Hall of Fame type of resume. I mean, to be honest with you, George Kittle, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down. And I want the Niners to actually extend him to make sure that he doesn't play in another uniform. He needs to be a lifelong Niner playing alongside Brock Purdy. But I feel like we're watching the best of George Kittle right now. I really do. He's got 40 catches right now, 503 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's dominating the run game. I think we're seeing the best of George Kittle this season. I really do.
There's a Purdy element. Purdy's got to play some good ball the next couple of weeks. I just look at all the bottom feeder teams. They have giant question marks at head coach and quarterback, or just a quarterback. Raiders, New England, Miami, Jets, Cleveland, Tennessee, Giants, Saints, Carolina, Dallas, Seattle. Well, Seattle's still in the mix. Even the Bears to a lesser degree. Like all these teams that have huge question marks, either at head coach or at quarterback, you just write them off. They're done. And like when Purdy plays awesome, 9 times out of 10, the Niners win. You know, I feel like we're afraid to say that, though,
This next stretch, is this going to determine how fans perceive Brock Purdy these next 9 games? Everybody has an opinion about Purdy now. And if we had to give a grade, we'll do grades tomorrow when it comes to the 49ers at the midway point. I'm giving Brock Purdy a B+/A- for a start to the season. Some people may think that's generous, but when you look at the context of everything and who's been in the lineup, who's been out of the lineup, chemistry with wide receivers, chemistry with running backs, I think Brock Purdy's been excellent. But I feel like these next 9 games are going to really shape the fan base's mind in terms of Brock Purdy and whether or not he's the quote-unquote guy for the next 3 to 4 years and what the numbers may look like here. This is a big, and it's obviously big. All these games are big, and it's all, you know, the quarterback talk, the quarterback roulette. Every week we feel good about a guy, and then we're down on a guy. But for Brock Purdy this year, for these next 9, I think it's very important on how well he plays, because I think it's going to shape a lot of people's point of view on what they expect from him moving forward.
If CMC comes back and they go on like a 7-2 run, hypothetically, I do think that there will be a lot of people like, CMC. Like, Purdy's really good, but he's not that good. It's CMC. If CMC plays like 2 games and they go like 7-2, then hell yeah, I think a lot of people, because you'll have no Ayuk, no CMC. They go on a run against, like, look at the schedule. The schedule's difficult. I know it's the NFL. Every game is difficult, but like it is a difficult schedule. You know, Miami getting Tua back, they're a different team.
And they've yet to, and again, these are the facts. I don't want people to get annoyed with the facts, but the facts are the Niners, they beat the Jets. What are the Jets? 3-5?
3-6 right now.
3-6. Patriots, they've got 1 win.
No, 2. They're 2-7.
Who they beat? They beat the Jets and they beat the Bengals. Beat the Jets and Bengals. Yeah.
And they almost won yesterday. Drake May, he looked good.
They're playing Tennessee.
I'm not denying that.
They're playing at the end there by Drake.
I'm just saying they didn't look bad.
They scored 17 points.
Oh, yeah, but it's also New England. It's two.
No, they're two terrible teams.
They scored a touchdown to force overtime last play of the game. They had 10 points. Seattle, 4-5.
I don't know what to make of them.
And then the Dallas Cowboys.
I just write them off.
So the fact is, we need to see the Niners only put together some wins, but beat a team that's pretty good. They've yet to beat a good team.
Well, and then I also look at Green Bay, that Green Bay game coming up. Green Bay's got a lot of talent, but they're just, I don't know, something doesn't pass the eye test for me.
They're beat up, too.
You know, Jordan Love, if he can't move, he's a different player.
He is. He is.
I still like Jordan Love, though.
888-957-9570. What are you making these damn Warriors? Let's get back to that. We'll play some sound from Rod Adams. We'll play some sound from Draymond Green. What is it that you love about the Golden State Warriors as they look to improve to 6-1-8 when they take on the Wizards? We'll do that. 888-957-9570. We'll also open up the lines if you've got Niner thoughts as well. Moving forward here, as they come off the bye, we can get ready to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will play tonight on Monday Night Football against Kansas City. And that is what is coming up. Brought to you by Los Altos Village Association. Downtown Los Altos presents the 21st Holiday Stroll, November the 8th, a sparkling opportunity to get into holiday spirit early. Sponsored by the agency at VLI Cosmetic Clinic. Find out more at downtownlosaltos.org.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.